92.3 is FM Talk.
I just made it into the studio today. Hello, Nevada. I'm John Potter. I couldn't find the ice scraper for the windshield. You know, it's one of those transitional things that we have to start doing right now. I did not do it, and I had to search my garage for 10, 15 minutes while the motor's running in the truck to melt the ice on the windshield. I don't know where the scraper is. I didn't know where I put it. And so I got a credit card out and scraped a little square. No, actually, I did the whole windshield. But it's just one of those things that you have to do with this weather. It's 22 degrees in Reno right now. It's the same thing as, well, we all have to go to the tire shop and ask them to top off the air in our tires, because the air in the tires condenses and the warning lights go on. And so you go to the tire shop and you try to coerce them, you know, be super friendly. Oh, and you stop by because... I'm thinking about getting new tires. So they come out and top off your tires for free. They're tired of seeing me, though, with that same lame presentation. But anyway, happy Christmas, December, folks. It is the season. And happy Hanukkah, my Jewish friends. The menorah in our home is in solidarity with you and Israel, with firm belief that God keeps his promises, including those he made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And to my fellow Christians, I wish you a Merry Christmas, full of love, peace, and good health for all except Apple, for hogging the rights to a Charlie Brown Christmas, and a pox on the person or persons who sold the rights to Charlie Brown Christmas to Apple TV. I don't think Charles Schulz would have been happy about that. But seriously, may we never forget the reasons we celebrate the holidays and support one another. And no matter how old you are, in empty Christmas wrapping paper is still fun to bonk. You know, the tube with the wrapping paper, it's still fun to bonk somebody over the head with. Am I right?
Yes.
There he is. Producing from Carson City is Phil Galbraith. Hey, Phil. Good morning.
How the heck are you?
Well, I'm all fired up now because I was looking for a scraper for 10 minutes.
I can't believe you use a scraper. How 80s of you.
Well, what? The new cars have, they defrost faster or what? Now, no, my vehicle's like 8 years old.
You go to your favorite auto parts store or big box store. And you buy a can of, they have several different brands of it. I call it hot water in a can. You just, comes in a spray can.
It's like that ammonia thing, right?
Yeah, kind of. It's not ammonia, though. But you spray it on your windows, and it melts the frost. Oh, yes. I get the orange stuff. I put it in my windshield washer reservoir, and I just squirt it onto my windshield as my wipers go back and forth. Clears it up in the morning.
It cleans it, too, I bet, too.
It does. It's made by, I wish I could remember.
Now you tell me. But this is just one of those transitional things we have to do right now.
Absolutely.
Nevada News, Trump in Reno, December 17th. Hey. The former president is scheduled to host a campaign rally at the Reno Sparks Convention Center the Sunday after tomorrow. At 2 p.m., the doors open at 11 a.m. It is free. It is open to the public. You know, they say, register here, but you don't really have to. To be honest, when these candidates come in and say you got to register for your free tickets, they just want your name to bug you about donating money. That's all it is. They'll let you in. You don't have to do it. Anyway, and also yesterday, it was announced that Biden is coming to Nevada. Now, when they say Nevada, it's always Vegas, right? Yep. When I first heard that, I immediately said, oh, Vegas, right? Yes, Vegas. Has he ever been to Reno or anywhere else in Nevada?
Could Biden find Reno on a map?
I don't think he's been here. Maybe somebody will call and correct us, 884-9910. But he's going to Vegas. He is too stuck in the old party ways. A visit to Nevada always means pandering to the unions, like the Culinary Union in Vegas, you know, the good old boys vote packing system set up by Harry Reid. And, you know, Vegas is not too excited about the Biden visit. You know, the only other time an 81-year-old screws up traffic like this is when they're driving a Buick in the passing lane. But anyway, Phil is big on roads and traffic because he does traffic reports on the weekdays. But you were telling me
down there at Reid Airport, it's going to be awful.
Yeah. Well, have you noticed, Mr. Nevada Roads, that the exit names for Cold Springs and Bordertown have been changed?
I have. I've been telling our listeners about the changes for the past month or 6 weeks or so.
Oh, because they did this, I think, less than 2 weeks ago.
Well, they've been warning about it.
Oh, they've been warning.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so instead of Cold Springs and Bordertown, the new signs say White Lake Parkway and Village Parkway. I think it's because, well, you probably know, Phil, but in the past, years, these were pretty sparse, unincorporated areas. And now with development, we have all the houses and apartments and new streets there. So now it's the streets that the exits take you to.
Although to me, Bordertown will always be Bordertown.
If you think it's bad now, give it 5 years. I'm telling you.
Well, remember how Verdi once had three exits that said Verdi off 80 before they did the street thing there, too? That was pretty confusing. Always the wrong Verdi exit. Oh, my gosh. Speaking of driving, and we have talked about people driving around with no license plate before. Do our police pull over cars for expired tags anymore? It just hit me. Look around, folks. They are everywhere. The DMV. You notice the no plates, but take a look, and you'll be amazed how many are expired.
Yes.
How you doing, sir?
But I've heard from a few people who say the officers understand the never-ending mismanagement at the Reno DMV and how difficult it is to get new plates or tags. So that excuse still works, right?
Well, it's very hard to be in compliance with the law with the way the DMV is right now. People want to. They want to do their civic duty and pay for their plates and get, most of them anyway, they want to do their civic duty and pay for their plates and have current registration. But if they can't get an appointment until Valentine's Day and they need to drive a car, what are they going to do?
For sure. By the way,
you can sit in the lobby.
Somebody's staring at me. Aside from that, we know that in Reno, a year after announcing plans for a 200-room casino hotel at the corner of South Virginia and Kitsky, the developer said this week the project is on hold. Let me clue you in. The developers, they often say that to get the word out that we're open to new investors.
They ain't got no money.
Yeah, well, they're out of money. Yeah. But this is a way for the word to get out to investors that, hey, we'll do this if we get some new money in and you can make, so much. But my question is, will the politicians give up their favorite free campaign sign corner? I can't see it.
Well, never mind the campaign signs. What about the Christmas tree farm? That's almost a tradition over there.
Well, yes. Also, there's the Christmas tree business lobby there, too.
Yeah.
Right, Phil?
Yes, there is.
But they've been talking about building a hotel casino there for over 20 years now. And for over 20 years, one of the busiest intersections in Reno, if not the busiest, has been an eyesore. That's trash and needles and all this, and will it ever happen that they build this hotel there? I don't know. I guess a hotel would do good business there. It just, to me, it doesn't look like a hotel corner,
I'd rather see the former Harrah's get much more attention. It's sitting there like a lump.
I am tired
of downtown being a sewer.
That's a sad thing to look at that massive Harrah's project that just stopped in his tracks, and there's been nobody there doing anything for months and months. I know. I walked downtown at sunrise, and there's no glimmer of hope there so far. Once it's open, though, I think it would do okay. Look at the housing crunch and stuff. I mean, this is housing here. This would, it's in big demand. So I'm not skilled enough to know what the real problem is there, but we just can have high hopes. Some college presidents faced Congress after allowing anti-Semitic protests on their campuses that included death threats to Jews. The president of Harvard, UPenn, and MIT hauled before Congress and were yelled at for good reason for refusing to call the genocide of Jews on campus bullying or harassment. They permitted students without punishment to promote the murdering of Jews with their chants and their signs. Now, okay, misgendering a Jew, boy, they would throw them off campus in a minute, right? But seriously, did you see any of that testimony with the college presidents? They did a terrible job facing questions, looking down and repeating their written statement, the deer in the headlights. I think it was the UPenn president who just sat there smirking over genocide. Just perfectly awful. Just really, just disgusting. And finally, I'll squeeze this in, the Time magazine picking their person of the year. Yes, folks, yes, there is still a Time magazine. As a matter of fact, they do this, I think, to remind everybody that there's still a Time magazine. This year's person of the year, Taylor Swift, she beat out, oh gosh, Anthony Blinken, Elon Musk, Prince Charles, which is all understandable because they're all terrible singers, right? Why Taylor Swift? I am thinking that the editor of Time has a daughter who before would not speak with him. That's the only thing I can imagine.
Let me interrupt you before we go to break, John, please. Yeah. We just had a call from Linda telling me or reminding me that Biden did, in fact, come to Reno over the summer. He landed in Reno and went up to Tahoe and stayed up there.
Yes, as I wasn't sure. That's why I said, has he ever been here before? Okay, she's right.
Now, I'm not sure if landing at the airport and skipping town counts. You know, if that's the case, then I've been to Shreveport, Louisiana.
Okay, 884-9910. And you can call now. Our first guest is a fascinating person coming up in about 15 minutes. But up next, I want to get into Highway 95. Phil, you're going to love this. I took my, 80th trip on Highway 95 just a couple of days ago. It some things need to be said. And, I got a bunch of stuff to get into. This fake electors thing, too. I've read up on this. And we may not get into that until maybe 11 o'clock this morning, but I think there's good reason to be fired up this morning over some local things, but we're going to have a lot of fun too. I'm John Potter, 884-9910. Phil's in Carson City. Take your call in the order they're received, and we'll talk to you on the air. I'd be grateful for your call. On 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 919.
Got an iPhone? Get our app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
Hiya, hiya, hiya. 884-9910, John Potter and Phil in Carson City talking to you. Our first guest coming up in about 10 minutes. Okay, Highway 95. Serious local news. Even though I haven't seen anything on the news about these, the many, many fatals that happened on State Highway 95. They are not reported here, but I see them. I travel that road quite a bit. You know, my wife likes to see shows in Vegas, so and football, Raiders, and things like that. There was a terrible fatal this week. Yes, another. Two people killed between Hawthorne and Tonopah. Nobody hears about these. In the vast in-between highway there between 80 and Las Vegas, and a 95 meanders through some 400 miles of empty rural counties. The news in Reno and Vegas ignores the carnage on Nevada's longest highway, U.S. 95, connecting northern and southern Nevada. It is the most dangerous highway in the state. It's one of the deadliest highways in the United States. Why? A great majority of it is, this highway is two lane. It's not four lane.
For those who haven't driven 95 south of Fallon, if you picture the street out in front of your house, the two-lane street in front of your house, that is a good description of Highway 95. Just the way it looks, that two-lane road.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are familiar with it. It doesn't get to four lanes until you get all the way to Mercury, which is near, very close to Vegas. So it's a long stretch of two-lane. But, you know, although I dearly love visiting my Silver State towns, I mean, this is the reason I don't fly.
Why don't you fly?
I love Beatty. I love Goldfield. I love Hawthorne.
95
I love
is Tonopah. A beautiful drive.
I even like Mina. In short, I can't drive it anymore. I can't. In my, what is it now, 80-some years, I've I've never seen so many near misses. It's the two-lane thing. Three factors make this a disaster. Number one, pretty much, it's more trucks than cars. Whether it's the truck drivers or their company policy, most of these trucks drive under the speed limit for hundreds of miles.
Yes.
You're often stuck behind one going 60 or less in a 70 zone. People in cars want to pass them. Some don't. And when you don't pass the trucks, then you get the line of vehicles behind the slow truck really long. And the longer it gets, the trickier it is to pass that truck. But some people will risk it and do it. And I have seen unbelievable near misses, folks. It's hundreds of miles between towns. Fallon to Hawthorne, Hawthorne to Tonopah, Tonopah to Beatty. All two lane, except for like little brief periods where they say passing zone, but there's not nearly enough of those.
Maybe we need more.
Is the solution to give truckers tickets for going slow? I thought that would be the solution, but I don't think so now, because semis going 70 on a winding two lane highway doesn't sound like an improvement. Plus, you have people who will still try to pass a truck speed limit 70 highway. If the truck's going 70, they're still going to try to pass it, you know? I don't know what the solution is besides make it a four lane, which is an enormous expense and take forever. All I know is we want to drive 70 on, you know, but then again, many of these towns exist only as speed traps. I don't think maybe a handful live in Mina. But that's a speed trap where they get you down to 20 miles per hour. Shores, Hawthorne, Mina, Luning, Tonopah, speed traps. Wonderful towns, but they're speed traps. You know, when you're going from 70 to 20, they know they're going to catch a few people who don't go 20, right? And once you're back in the 70 zone, folks tend to hit the gas more, so it's a lot of speeding, it's a lot of slow trucks, and a lot of risking passing in the opposite lane. And I can tell you it's been that way since the 70s when I was on it. It's just terrifying to me. Maybe it's my 80-plus age, I don't know. And finally, somebody sent me a link of something that happened in Truckee. Has anybody seen these YouTube videos from what are called these Second Amendment bloggers? These folks travel the country walking into businesses with cameras until they're told to leave, and then they video from the sidewalk being as intrusive as they can until the owner calls the police. They do this just for the YouTube hits. If you get a lot of YouTube hits, you get money. Somebody sent me a link to these bloggers. They're called the Amagansett Press. And they were hassling the sock store, the sock shop in Truckee. And this video goes on for 20 minutes where the owner tries to get them off the sidewalk. Now, some people will sit and watch that. I don't understand. I've seen a couple of videos where they go up to that agricultural check at the California state line on 80. And there are people who say, this is against my constitutional rights. You can't stop me. And then they, you know, the person at the agricultural station doesn't know what to do with these people. So they call the police, and there you'll see a video of a half hour, this guy arguing why the trooper can't stop him. People have a lot of free time, I guess. What can I say? But it just amazes me to see this at the sock shop. Anyway, we got a break for news, and we have our first guest coming up. Fascinating person. 884-9910, our number. I'm John Potter. It's a crazy state we live in. That's all. We'll be back after Fox News. All live and local until noon on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk time is 9:30.
Fox at the top. Fox at the bottom. Live and local right now.
All the information for the entire Northern Nevada area on one radio station. Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth.
Hello, John Potter here. 15 minutes from now, we'll open up the phones for open topics right now in the studio. Tom DuBose. Hey, Tom, welcome.
Good morning.
Tom, folks, let's welcome Tom. He is a new Nevadan, moved here about 2 years ago from Idaho, and he chose Carson City as his new home. He is a speech coach who has a inspirational, motivational, own your destiny vibe to it. That's actually the title of it. First off, let's start, Tom, with why Carson City? Of all the places, and you were born in New Orleans, you've been all over the country, multiple moves. How did you end up settling in Carson City? What's so great about it?
Well, we actually decided to be fairly smart about it and do our research and figure out what is it that we wanted and where would we find it. And mm-hmm. lo and behold, long story short, the weather, the vibe of the city, the small town, the friendliness of it, it all clicked for us, and we have been thrilled ever since moving here.
You got it. I don't know why more people don't consider Carson City. Not that I want this city to get bigger and bigger, but it's a gem, and especially you came to see, you live near downtown, you see the amazing lights and how they fix this beautiful aura around the governor's mansion and the legislature building and things like that. So it's really a prize. You've done well, my friend. What, Coeur d'Alene and Idaho, what's that like now? Is that growing?
More than I would have cared for. And to be honest, if it was up to me, I don't think I ever would have left Coeur d'Alene, but it was a little bit too much winter for my wife. So living here in Northern Nevada is kind of the perfect compromise. If I get to ski, she doesn't have to live in a miserable winter condition.
So you're going from working in software, you're an engineer, to inspiring and teaching people really what, how to speak in public?
Among other things, yeah. I created my own keynote just from the experiences that I've had, more my hobbies and you know, diversions than my work life, but there's some of that in there. Done a lot of interesting things over the years and learned things because I try to pay attention and try to put that into a talk that would help people figure out, you know what, I'm in charge of my own life, because I just see all too often people outsourcing that mm-hmm. responsibility, and it drives me crazy.
So what's in this talk? Like personal stories? Things that turned you around? Can you give us an example?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Personal stories, and my favorites, of course, are the embarrassing ones where I've made a fool of myself and learned a lot in the process.
You too, huh?
Oh, I have some experiences. I got to participate as a handicapped athlete one time, and that was a rather interesting story. A buddy of mine lost a leg in an accident years ago, but he gets around just great, and he recruited me as part of a relay team in a mini triathlon. And so we were competing in the adaptive division. The problem was he was the last leg of our race in the kayak. I was the first leg of the race in a run. Every other adaptive division team consisted of a wheelchair racer. So I get to start the race with about a dozen very athletic guys in wheelchairs and me standing there thinking, I used to be the normal one. How did this happen?
Now, what were you doing there in the first place? I mean, you don't have a handicap yourself, do you?
But, well, as a team, it was one member of the team being handicapped put us in that division.
I got you.
And had no idea I was going to be starting with people that were clearly in that division and drew a few odd looks of, what the heck does he think he's doing in this group?
Well, you have been in 5 Ironman triathlons and ultra marathon trail runs and other endurance events, and those convinced you to get some survival skills. So you joined Search and Rescue.
Yeah, I started when we still lived back in the days in Washington State, and then after moving here, joined the Carson City Sheriff's Search and Rescue Group. And it's just been a phenomenal experience. I learned some really helpful life skills that came into play. In fact, not too long ago, where I had my own accident, and I got to see the other side. Instead of being the rescuer, I got to be the rescuee.
Well, you being a search and rescue guy, what do you want to tell people, like backcountry skiers? What do you want to say to them?
One of the things that you hear a lot is the 10 essentials. 10 is kind of an arbitrary number, but it's a list of the things you absolutely should have on your person when you're out in the wilderness, especially by yourself. And that's not recommended, of course. But there's lots of resources online. There's slight versions of it, but it's the things that will keep you alive if the worst happens.
Can we run through the 10 quickly?
Let me give you some examples, because there are some variations. Good. My number one thing I tell people, if you're going out anywhere, bring a whistle. If you get hurt and you try to yell for help, you're going to last about 10 minutes. If you have a whistle, you can go for hours trying to summon help. So I put that one at the top of the list. There's food and water on the list. There's adequate clothing. If you're going out and it could get cold, if you get delayed, you think of extra clothing. Certainly your own first aid kit would be on that list. And there's a variety of other things, but it's real simple common sense stuff. It doesn't weigh you down terribly, but it could save your life someday.
You say, I help busy professionals discover their capacity for greatness and achieve it. How do you do it?
I try to remind people, because we tend to forget, that we're in charge of our own lives. I get so frustrated seeing people adopt the role of a spectator, or even worse, a victim.
Hear, hear. Yeah.
And I'm big on self-reliance and being proactive and taking charge of your life. And hopefully when I talk and give those kinds of messages, people, it resonates with them and they remember, because it was always there, but we forget it and don't take charge and be proactive. And
I get what you're saying. How do you give people the positive outlook? How did you get the positive outlook? For me, it was just reading inspirational books, and my dad was a super positive guy. So I picked it off, from him. But how do you do it? And not only that, the older a person is, the least apt you are to change that person and their thinking and their behavior. So you have some, I guess, motivational words that do the trick?
I don't think it's any magic. I like to do it through stories. I think people learn and react because of stories, not because of facts.
Give us a story. Maybe we'll have a person listening that you can give that positive vibe to by one of your examples, one of your stories that I'm sure you tell in your speech, right?
Sure.
Okay, mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Well, I have to say my favorite story is a blind date story. Because, I mean, let's face it, who doesn't love a good blind date story?
Well, go ahead.
So I'll try to make a long story short. A mutual friend introduced me on a blind date, and it turned out to be just a true comedy of errors in this, because she was a single mom at the time. So that's already complex, and it was a new experience for me. And
Was this you on a blind date?
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
And so we got introduced, and over the course of much longer than we expected, we were supposed to be passing through. He was going to introduce me because I was driving him to be somewhere else. But this was in Northern California, Highway 101, famous for the road washing out and not being able to continue. That's exactly what happened to us. So we got stranded. But he got, we got as far as this woman's house. We made the introduction, but we didn't know it was going to turn into a three-day visit. So my blind date turned into a three-day visit because we were stranded with the road closed. We were trying to continue on and were not able to do that. And so through a whole series of misadventures, we got to know each other a bit in this blind date. And the surprise ending of the story is she is now known as Mrs. Dubose.
Wow. That's just fate almost, really. I mean, the timing, how often does that happen? You're on a blind date, the road is closed, you're stranded for 3 days.
Yeah, the short version I tell people and say, well, how did you meet your wife? I said, it was an act of God.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay, so your website, TomDubose.com, TomDubose. Check it out, folks. If you need a little bit of this positive thinking that could change your life, or I guess if you need a great speaker, or if you are a speech coach and you can show people how to speak in public, which not a whole lot of people can do very well.
Yep. The first thing is get people over the fear. And we have some things that we talk with folks that help that. It's a process. It's not a magic switch.
Is it like Toastmasters?
I am a huge proponent of Toastmasters.
How is yours different from Toastmasters?
More one-on-one coaching, but I think Toastmasters is where you can get your repetitions and practice it. I can tell you what to do and how to do it, but you still have to practice it. And that's where Toastmasters comes in. And I belong to a club in Carson City, and it's a great resource. We have several in Carson City and many more here in Reno.
Yeah.
And shameless plug, if you want to learn to speak in public, that's a great place to learn because it's a very welcoming opportunity.
It's a great time. I wrote up after Channel 2 took away my keys, I wrote up a 25-minute speech, and I go around Kiwanis, Rotary, Optimist Club, Public Employees Union groups, all through the state doing this 25-minute speech. A lot of humor in it and things like that, but it's a great experience to do that. It's a lot of fun. It really is. I'll have you see one of my... I'd love people to book me again. I do it for free. And if I get another booking, I'd like to have you come by and judge me.
I would be willing to do that.
No booing. Tom Dubose, TomDubose.com. Tom, thanks for coming out, my friend.
All right,
thank you. Phone lines open again, folks, 884-9910. I'm John Potter, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 947.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news.
Government is bad and government is evil.
99.1
and 92.3
FM Talk, KKFT.
News. Talk. True.
Hello there. I'm John Potter, and according to my chocolate advent calendar, there are only 3 days till Christmas. yes, Merry Christmas. Yes, it's the season, isn't it? We got trees up in a lot of houses. Music is playing those wonderful carols. Last night, I found my elf on a shelf, passed out by the eggnog. I think most of us have some Christmas cheer going on. We've had the tree lightings. Usually now it's holiday tree, no longer Christmas tree.
Bah, humbug.
But have you heard this? One company here in Reno decorated their space, their office space. They took a picture with a tree and they put it on their Facebook. And I thought that was nice. Well, you know, check out what they wrote on their post. It says here, to officially mark the holiday season, we lit our tradition tree! Exclamation point. Because, you know, if you get a degree in communications or public relations and you get a job posting on corporate social media, you know that the gratuitous use of the exclamation point is what sets you apart, you know, as a communications professional.
What the heck is a tradition tree?
Well, okay, let's read paragraph 2 of this post. And I'm not naming this company because I am not into shaming our local businesses at all. Paragraph 2 of this post, the tree symbolizes all of the days our employees celebrate the holiday season. It is decorated in ornaments that represent traditions and that which is important to them. Unquote. You know, I first saw this post, you know, with the picture with the tree. When I first saw it, I thought, wow, that's a nice Christmas tree there. Backwards, out of date, close-minded, and not sufficiently woke. I did not see the tradition tree part until I really read. It didn't really register with me. But this tree, this tradition tree, has a big red bow at the top where the star would go. Now, again, a dumb person like me, I mean, I went to college in Indiana, okay? I look at that and I say,
well, yeah, dude, gosh darn, that's a Christmas tree.
That's probably my patriarchy thinking right there, folks. But these people who work at this company, I presume they are educated and intelligent. I imagine they are people who are intellectually competent, and I suspect that they know, they must know, these employees must know that is a Christmas tree, right? But I also suspect they live and work in an environment where you have to pretend certain things, and you can't be honest about certain things. And when we live in a world where political correctness and the insistence on people being woke is so great that you can't call a Christmas tree, and you have to pretend it's something else. You know, honest, decent people don't live in a society of dishonesty and having to hide the truth for fear of somebody or a boss or getting in trouble because somebody makes a stink isn't a very good way to live. But anyway, that's the way it is.
Hey,
so
John,
welcome the tradition tree. Yes, Phil.
The tradition tree aside, as we kick that over into the dustbin of unhappiness, we have had several requests for your previous guest's website.
Oh, yes. Let me get that out, my friend.
And that'll give our listeners a chance to go get themselves a pencil.
Okay. TomDubose.com. That's TomDubose.com. You know, it's a shame we only had about 10 minutes with him because this man is full of stories, so many inspirational stories that he goes around. It's a half-hour speech that he does and he presents to people. So if you'd like Tom to have you at your event and speak, go to that website. It'll also teach you folks how to speak. If you'd like me to speak, I have a free speech, and I'm happy to come by and do it. I've been to, I think I kept count, 49 different organizations I've been to all over Northern Nevada with my speech. And a lot of people have, a lot of fun with it. I get a lot of great questions, too.
Personally, I take a different tact. I've
yes,
had
what do you do?
Six engagements where people have paid me to shut the heck up.
Okay, Phil. All right. Today's a big day. I will be out meeting you folks, speaking of which, today in person. Don't miss my visit today, and don't miss the grand opening of the Cookie Plug. Now, you folks in California know what that is. I've never heard of it, but it's very big in, say, Sacramento. It's these cookies that are like glorified hockey pucks. They don't taste like them. Don't worry. They're big and thick, and they're all a rage in the places where they've opened. And so Reno is getting its first cookie plug opening today. And I'll be there in person and calling in on the radio on this from 12:30 to 3:30 today. This grand opening, 12:30, it's the cookie plug is right next to the Raley's on South Meadows Parkway. So look for me in my suit and cowboy boots, and I'll be in there, and I'd love to meet you. Live broadcast, 12:30, 3:30, cookie plug grand opening next to the Raley's. That's... let me think. That's opposite. I like Blaze Pizza, but it's across the street from that where the gas station and car wash is. Next to the Raley's. You know where the Raley's is on South Meadows. Cookie Plug is right next to it. So Yeah. I'd love to meet y'all personally. That'd be a great time. Okay. Next guest coming up, and your calls at 884-9910. Always happy to take them. And as we count down the days till Christmas, and Phil, I didn't ask you what topics you wanted to bring up today. I mean, this is all live and local. Local being the main word, so we'll have a lot to talk about. I would like to
discuss the donut as a whole.
Okay, and I'd like to ask you, yeah. Do people in electric cars listen to AC/DC, or do they listen to something current? See, I can't understand why Channel 2 didn't want me around anymore. That's that makes sense.
You are reminding me of why cows don't play poker. Because the stakes are just too high.
As long as we're going on this thing, let me tell you this. Yesterday, I opened my electric bill and my water bill at the same time, and I was shocked.
Oh, I bet you were. Yes, absolutely.
It was terrible.
I opened my cable bill. It was from Western Union.
Doctor told me yesterday, you need to listen to your body. My body says you're old and you want tacos. All right. It's time for Fox News, and we'll be back. 884-9910 is our number. I'm John Potter on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Folks, we'll be right back. FM News Talk Time, 958.